All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Tonight, I'll be talking about the New World Order from a biblical perspective, also taking a look at the latest news in this crazy world. You're not going to want to miss the 11th episode of the show. It starts right after this. Apologize for that. Technical issues are to blame for that. But welcome everyone to another episode of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. My name is Benjamin Naim, here with all of you live for episode number 11 here on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. I'm here at the headquarters, if you want to call it that, in Jacksonville, Florida. Ready for another show. There's a lot to talk about tonight. The main event topic, if you want to call it that, is going to be a biblical perspective on the coming New World Order. I want to focus on the political aspect, what the Bible says about what this world will look like during the end times, and specifically the global government that is to come. It sounds crazy to people who haven't studied this out, but one day there's going to be a world government. There's going to be a corporate, tyrannical, global government ruling the world. The Antichrist will be in control. Not going to focus on him as much, mostly just what this world government will end up looking like according to the Bible. There's a lot of different videos on this on YouTube, especially if you want to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, but a lot of it isn't from a scriptural perspective. There isn't a lot of Bible. And if there is Bible, it's going to be the NIV. If there is Bible on this, it's going to be the ESV or the NLT or some other modern perversion. Well, it's time that people who actually believe in the true, perfect Word of God, that being the King James Bible, it's time for them to inject some truth into these conspiracy communities, which is why I want to talk about the New World Order from a biblical perspective. What exactly this government is going to end up like? A global government, one world, one man ruling the planet, a corporate, tyrannical hellhole is what it's going to be. And so let's see what the Bible says about that later on. But before we get there, there's so much happening in the world today, and I wanted to cover some of the headlines with you all this evening. And the reason why is because I just can't tell the difference sometimes between a real headline and a parody. That's because we're just getting crazier and crazier as a society. The political theatrics in general are getting more and more overdramatic, especially this Ukraine deal and the impeachment on Donald Trump, or the inquiry when it comes to Donald Trump. I want to talk a little bit about just how ridiculous the two-party duopoly really is tonight. The false left-right paradigm, and how Democrats believe any scandal involving their politicians, it's just all automatically fake. They're all fake. They're all frauds. And the same thing with the Republicans. These people are blinded as if they're stuck in a religious cult by their favored political party. And we're seeing that manifest today with the theatrics surrounding the impeachment inquiry with regard to President Trump. I want to focus a little bit on Joe Biden, though, and talk to you about him, and to show you the utter hypocrisy of some of these leftists who love Joe Biden so much. I want to also show you how it doesn't matter whether it's left-wing or right-wing, both of them are corrupt in the same way. if you're going to be upset about Hunter Biden, but then you don't say anything about Jared Kushner and his dealings with Israel and the Zionism that he's promoted as part of the Trump administration's foreign policy, then you're stuck in that two-party paradigm and you're not really looking at things objectively. When I get the chat room open, I'll say hello to you guys in there. If there is anyone in there, I'm not sure just yet. I don't have it open right now as we just went on the air tonight. But I will say this. You know, it's always great to get an opportunity to host this show. I've loved doing it every week. It's a chance for me to vent sometimes, but it's also a chance for me to transmit information that a lot of people aren't getting, especially when you turn on the idiot box, especially when you turn on mainstream television and the mainstream news, especially when you watch Hollywood movies and you listen to the radio and you listen to all the other stupid garbage, corporate-controlled garbage out there, created by people who hate the Bible, created by reprobates who hate God, who hate godliness, who hate you, who hate your family, who hate your children, who hate your way of life, who hate your ideology. And it's really difficult for people to find content online or on television that'll feed you with information, make you more knowledgeable. You turn on the news today, it doesn't matter whether it's Fox News or CNN, and it's typically just sold out puppet talking heads sitting there arguing about how the Democrats are better than the Republicans. Or if you watch Fox News, it's about how the Republicans are better than the Democrats. Well, you know what? They're both corrupt and wicked as hell. And it doesn't matter which side of this paradigm you choose to hitch your wagons to. At the end of the day, we're going down to the exact same destination, and that destination is a corporate-controlled New World Order. What does the Bible say about this? Like I said a few minutes ago when the show opened, people don't talk about this from a biblical perspective. And you can sit there and you can watch all the conspiracy videos you want about this, but there's no better source of information than the King James. And we'll get to that, the King James Bible. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Right now, though, let's talk about some current events, if you will. Let's see what's going on in this world that right now is viral in the news. First of all, I have to mention this. I don't know if you guys have paid any attention, but there is a lot of hysteria when it comes to climate change these days, as people believe, mostly atheists and liberals, that one day the planet is going to be burned up or that sea levels are going to rise to apocalyptic levels because the polar ice caps melt as a result of rising temperatures that come thanks to global warming. They believe that carbon dioxide levels are reaching a point to where it's actually affecting the Earth's climate, making it warmer and causing catastrophic natural disasters. What they don't understand is if we're all going to die because of natural disasters, it'll be providential. It's not going to be because of your environmentalist made-up fantasy world, your end-time story that you get from the religion of atheism. It's not going to be because of global warming. But of course, why do they push this so hard? Why is it that climate change? The climate changes all the time, by the way. It's not impacted by the, quote, environment. But anyway, why is it that this is being promoted so heavily? Why is it that adherence to this global warming fantasy look at you like you're a space alien if you tell them that you don't buy into it? It's because they're sheep. It's because they just listen to what the TV tells them. They listen to what the corporate media tells them. And they just follow along without asking any questions. But beyond that, at the top, the globalist elites, they want to push this because there was an op-ed that came out a long time ago, and it was entitled, "It's the Year 2030, I Own Nothing, and Life Has Never Been Better," and I'm paraphrasing the headline there, but the United Nations Agenda 2030 plan is to create sort of like a dystopian, these dystopian cities for the mega elites. And then everyone else, they want packed into these tiny apartment complexes, driving tiny little smart cars, all in the name of the environment. They want you to have one child or less. Why? Because it's a population control agenda. That's what global warming is all about. Carbon taxes, population control, trying to convince people that in the name of the environment, they shouldn't have kids. I've had people who believe in this global warming thing tell me that we need in the Western world, not just the United States, but Western civilization as a whole. And they said this to me with a straight face, that we need a communist Chinese style one child policy or else global warming is going to just wipe us all out. That's what these mentally enslaved morons actually believe. And the reason why is because at the top, the globalists want population control. They want to bring the population down. That's why they promote the vaccines and the GMOs and everything like that. And, you know, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 is my go-to scripture to debunk this climate change thing. Matthew Martin brought it up in the chat room there. I want to say hello to William Edward Hackman, Matthew Martin, Heath Hendricks, Guzman1611. By the way, Guzman1611, he put out a really good video. Guys, go check out his YouTube channel if you haven't already. He put out a great video about an abortion doctor who had recently died, and Guzman gave you the unfiltered truth about what's going on. Maria YouTube 100, as usual, is in there as well. I see Clad with Zeal, another great YouTuber that you guys should all check out. Clad with Zeal, he was a guest before on this show. So the Bible tells us that cold and heat will never vanish away. That's a promise. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. But climate change is being used to promote population control. It's being used also to bring in a world government because they hold these climate summits yearly, sometimes more than once a year, where all these world leaders meet and convene, similar to what they do for the Bilderberg meetings, to try and come up with ways to erode nation-state sovereignty. And they do it through climate change, using that as a means to bring in these globalist policies. But people who have the mainstream media glasses on can't see this. They're blinded. And it's unfortunate now that these globalists are using children to try and brainwash people. And there was a Middle Eastern war that we were duped into believing would be profitable for the United States, that a lot of people thought we had no choice but to get involved in this conflict because a girl got up and gave a speech about how babies are being taken out of incubators and killed. Well, it turned out to be a complete hoax. Well, this is this generation's babies in incubators hoax right here. Greta, I forgot what her last name is. We're going to see it in a moment. This Swedish girl who I believe is like mentally ill or something. She's got some sort of problem. And I wouldn't be surprised if these UN elites or if these shadowy figures running the world are abusing this girl in some way, using her, folks, as the puppet of global warming. Let's take a look, first of all, at this article here. You want to talk about the falling away spiritually. We're about to see Greta Thunberg is her name. I think is how you pronounce it. You're about to see how Greta Thunberg is being practically worshipped now by fake Christians. Take a look at this article courtesy of the Washington Examiner. And if you're watching via YouTube, you can see this on your screen. For those of you tuning in through the podcast, you'll only hear, obviously, my description of what's on the screen. Here's your headline. September 30th, this was published. That's today. Church of Sweden proclaims Greta Thunberg successor to Jesus Christ in resurfaced tweet. Folks, when I tell you that we're in the falling away right now, when I tell you that people are departing from the truth of God's word in droves, I don't say it just to be negative. I don't say it to just try and, you know, repeat a talking point. I say it because it's true, because it's biblical. Take a look at the lead of this article here. The Church of Sweden declared teen star climate activist. Now, I'm supposed to believe that a teenager is somehow a professional, an expert on climate. teen star climate activist Greta Thunberg to be an appointed successor to Jesus Christ in a 2018 tweet that resurfaced in the wake of her speech before the United Nations. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this speech, but it was the most overdramatic trash I've ever seen in my life. She's up there acting like the world is going to end. I'm going to show you a clip from it in a moment here. Announcement. This is what it says. This is translated from Swedish. Announcement. Jesus of Nazareth has now appointed one of his successors, Greta Thunberg. Think about how blasphemous this is. Think about how wicked this is. And, you know, I heard Europe is spiritually desolate. Just completely desolate. And there are people who like our movement in Sweden who tell me they just can't find a church at all to save their lives. Well, it doesn't surprise me. The tweet said, on December 1st, 2018, the account operated by the Limhams Church had previously tweeted several sentiments of climate activism. So this is supposedly an expert on climate. She's a professional on climate, this teenager who has mental issues. Greta Thunberg, the tweet's reemergence came at the time as at the same time as Thunberg's appearance at the United Nations earlier this month, in which she sounded the alarm about climate change during a viral speech. She says right here, "My message is that we'll be watching you," to a room full of world leaders. "You all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?" And I'll play the clip later. I'm not going to reenact it. The Church of Sweden has a history of promulgating climate alarmism. See, they won't promulgate alarmism when it comes to getting saved. They won't promulgate alarmism when it comes to the necessity of Jesus Christ for salvation and just how important it is for you to place 100% of your faith and trust and rely and depend on Christ alone. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." But they don't care about that. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about reaching the lost. They call themselves loving, but ignore the lost that are surrounding them every day because they're not saved themselves. So of course, they're not going to understand the importance of soul winning, nor are they going to be able to win anybody to Christ anyway. But my point is, they are promulgating climate alarmism. They care about issues that their puppet masters tell them to care about. Greta Thunberg particularly, noting on their official website, "When the Amazon burns, we gather to fight for Mother Earth." The Amazon is going to burn one day. I don't deny that. This whole earth is going to burn one day, but it's going to be courtesy of fire and brimstone coming from the heavens, coming from God. Have you read the second half of Daniel's 70th week? Have you read the book of Revelation and what's coming? First, the wrath of the devil, and then the wrath of God after the rapture. Time and time I ask myself, when was the Swedish church kidnapped by left-wing extremists? One user wrote. Well, that's all you're going to get in Sweden if you try to go to church is crazy leftists. Now, let me show you this. This is Greta right here. For those of you who might be a little confused about what's going on, who is this person? And by the way, I like how YouTube has to give you a Wikipedia definition of global warming just for peak propaganda purposes right there, for peak indoctrination right there. So you can't do your own research without this being shoved down your throat. Let's look at some clips, courtesy of The Guardian right here, of this person who clearly is being manipulated by George Soros. This whole thing is a Soros-funded operation. You know, look at her. She looks lifeless. She looks like
this is all wrong.
She's being abused. She's a victim.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean.
Totally scripted.
Yet,
inauthentic.
Come to us young people for hope.
This is what Soros told her to say.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction.
Mass
extinction. All you can talk about,
that's new to me,
is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
This is just sad to watch. It's just sad to watch. And people are sitting there clapping. All these pseudo-intellectuals in the audience are sitting there clapping, acting like this is the greatest thing they've ever seen in their life, watching a girl who's probably getting abused by her George Soros masters, given pre-scripted talking points into a microphone. No one with half a brain is going to believe this is authentic. Totally overdramatic, totally scripted, and yet people are eating this up everywhere. And if you dare criticize her, you're lambasted as practically the devil himself.
30 years, the science has been crystal clear.
No, it has not. The science has not been crystal clear.
How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics,
there's no scientific evidence
needed are still nowhere in sight.
Of man-made climate change, in fact.
You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe.
All right, that's enough. So there you go, folks. And this is being platformed on all the mainstream media outlets. Everyone is talking about this. She is now the new face of global warming. But here's the true man in charge, Breitbart. George Soros emerges as major funder of global climate strike groups. This speech came during a time in which a bunch of young people skipped school, and some of them, by the way, were forced into skipping school. Some of them were told by their schools in the public school system, you need to, it is mandatory for you today to skip class and go out into the streets and march and protest something that's made up, something that isn't even real, this climate change myth, because the public school system is a socialist, globalist, left-wing indoctrination camp that sends kids off to go protest and to go adhere to their ideologies. Let me take a look at this article with you guys. George Soros, this radical New World Order advocate right here, he financed the environmentalist groups partnering in this week's global climate strike to the tune of nearly $25 million. According to a new report. And if you think things will get better when this guy dies, think again. Folks, he's got sons, okay? At least 22 of the left-wing activist groups listed as partners in the global climate change strike received $24,854,592 in funding from liberal billionaire George Soros between 2000 and 2017 through his Open Society Network, Joseph Vasquez reported Thursday for the Media Research Center. That's who is behind this lie, and that's who's pulling the strings of their PR people like her. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. I know I said this before. I'm going to say it again. If she's being abused physically by these sick freaks. And so I just wanted to talk about that. There's a few other stories I wanted to go over here. But you have to ask the question, how do people buy into this stuff? It seems like they've created their own religion. The creation story is evolution, and the end time story is climate change. But even if you take biblical Christianity out of the mix, just logically, none of this makes sense. How is it that someone can sit there and say with a straight face that a single-celled organism evolved into a fish, which evolved into a land animal, which evolved into a monkey, which evolved into a person over billions of years, and believe it so wholeheartedly that they condescendingly look down at people who reject that and instead believe the Bible? Well, I think we get our answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, this is specific to the gospel. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People are blinded. And that's why we need to be the light in this dark world, to open people's eyes and blast good content out on social media. If you're going to be on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, we need to disseminate as much information as possible and use these platforms against the elite. Now let's get back to some of the articles I wanted to go over before talking about the New World Order in light of the Bible. Now, Joe Biden is in the news lately. For those of you who don't know what's going on, essentially Donald Trump is supposedly in trouble because he asked the Ukrainian leadership to try and see if he can get some information on Joe Biden. It's political theater from the left and the right here. But I want to show you just how hypocritical people are on both sides. And specifically, here's Joe Biden. Now, what is Donald Trump accused of doing? He's accused of using his seat of authority to basically help his upcoming presidential campaign. Now, here's what you have to understand. All politicians do this. And if you're going to get upset, rightfully so, at Joe Biden as the vice president using that seat of authority to enrich his son, but then you totally ignore what Jared Kushner is doing and the Zionism that he's injecting into America's foreign policy, then folks, you're stuck in the left-right paradigm. Because let me explain something to you, okay? Jared Kushner is the reason why Jerusalem was declared the capital, why the embassy was moved there. Jared Kushner is one of the reasons why people in Israel love and worship Donald Trump and why his face is on a coin, on a commemorative coin, right in front of King Cyrus. The Jews believe he's like the reincarnation of King Cyrus. They love him. Jared and Ivanka Trump, who have zero experience in this area, put there because of their relationship to Donald Trump. Okay, so this happens on both sides. But I want to show you what Joe Biden did, because I haven't spoken a lot about him. He's kind of under the radar for a lot of people. Joe Biden is scum, and he's just as corrupt as everyone else. Now, think about this. He's upset because of Trump asking the Ukraine to potentially look into his situation here. This is what Joe Biden did. Joe Biden, I'm going to show you this video. Joe Biden brags about bribing Ukraine to fire the prosecutor investigating his son's company. We'll go to the video in a moment. I just want to explain to you the backstory. As vice president, he made sure that his son Hunter, who's a cokehead, by the way, he made sure that his son Hunter got a job at this natural gas company making $50,000 a month. Okay? I want you to notice the cronyism here, because it's not just Jared Kushner. The Democrats do the same thing. $50,000 per month this guy was making. Zero experience in the natural gas industry. None. Zilch. This is pure crony capitalism. And so he's able to put his son, he's able to get his son this job using the influence that he has as VP. And then what ends up happening is that an investigation is opened up into just how corrupt this mega corporation is that Hunter Biden is working for. It's so corrupt that a special prosecutor was hired to look into that situation and to investigate that. And Joe Biden uses his influence and he withholds foreign aid from the Ukraine to make sure that that investigator is fired in order to protect his son, who was making $50,000 a month doing a job he's not qualified to do solely because of his last name. That is the level of corruption we see in American politics. And folks, I'll show you him bragging now. Video of him bragging about getting this guy fired. Take a look at this. In 2006, Ukrainian prosecutor General Viktor Shokin, in his investigation of corruption involving Burisma Holdings, a natural gas company, identified Hunter Biden as the recipient of over $3 million from the company. Now wanting this corruption exposed, Joe Biden swung into action using U.S. loan guarantees as hostage while demanding Shokin be fired. Amazingly, yeah. Joe Biden now brags about this. Now, this was at a Council on Foreign Relations event, which is another New World Order outlet.
Went over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another billion-dollar loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the billion."
Now he might use some.
They said,
you colorful language here.
You're not the president. The president said. I said, "Call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in six hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Oh, son of a.
All right. Sorry. He used some colorful language. But anyway, folks, he ends up saying, I'll just finish the clip.
Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
So there you see him, folks. He's bragging right there about how he withheld that money and was able to get the prosecutor fired to protect his son. And so what's the point? Why am I even going over a story like this? Because if you're a Republican, you say all the scandals against the Republicans are all fake, you know, especially when you get into 9/11, you get into talking about the Iraq War and the criminal Bush administration, they make a bunch of excuses for that. And then the Democrats, when you bring up the Clinton Foundation, when you bring up the fact that Hillary used her position as Secretary of State to negotiate weapons deals with countries that then donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to her fake foundation, charitable foundation, they look the other way. The emails and all the rest of it, they look the other way. They don't care. It's all fake. The Joe Biden situation as well, they look the other way. It's all fake. None of it matters. And it's just the cognitive dissonance is what drives me insane with these people. And it's one of the main reasons why the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 118, you know, when it comes to this, there are a lot of people who put their hope, they place their faith in politics and in politicians. But the Bible says, if I can find it here, it says in Psalm 118 in verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. See, I'm not going to vote for either side because guess what? They're both corrupt to the core. And you see what goes on. Cronyism, nepotism. You see foreign aid money being used as leverage to make sure that your own son is being enriched, or politicians that get into the game making a modest income and leave millionaires. Is that what it's about? You really think that a political office is supposed to be a place where people go to get rich? How do you think they get rich? It's because lobbyists promise them certain favors in exchange for favorable policy positions. It's why Boeing, for example, spends hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying. Why do you think we have a military-industrial complex today? It's because weapons manufacturers lobby government to keep this country in a state of perpetual war so that they make money in said conflict by financing both sides. So we ought not to put our trust in those people. Don't put your trust in the political process. Place your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the Lord. And if there's any hope for turning this ship around, it's going to be done behind the pulpit. Again, Psalm 118, verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And it says just one verse earlier, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Ain't that the truth? And that's why a lot of the pastors in the new IFB, they will emphasize that you need to make sure you're studying the scriptures for yourself. Brother Peter James says in the chat room, thanks for the info, Ben. YouTube is dead to find real info. No matter how specific your searches are, they only allow you to see mainstream outlets' videos in the results. They've changed the algorithm on YouTube to make sure that if you type anything in whatsoever, that it's going to be some corporate fake news media YouTube channel that comes up because they want to shield you from what's really going on. I'm now going to cover what the New World Order will look like according to the Bible. Remember, folks, that once the devil uncloaks himself, once the Antichrist sits in the temple of God and proclaims himself to be God, there will be 10 kings that will give him his power, okay? And he is going to start off as a political figure, but eventually uncloak himself as deity, false Christ, an antichrist, okay? And as a false Christ, a false god that people worship as a religious figure. Starts out as a political figure, ends up as a religious figure. This antichrist will rule the world through a corporate world government. The Bible talks about this. Forget about the conspiracies. Turn them off. Go to the Word of God if you want to learn the conspiracy videos, I should say. I'm not saying all conspiracies are wrong. All I'm saying is this. The Word of God talks about this, and you know what? It describes it better than Alex Jones ever could. So I'm going to talk about that after a quick break. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to recoup. And then, the New World Order according to the Bible. What does it say about this? What do we have to look forward to? You know what I think it is? A counterfeit of the millennium. More on this coming up.
To invite you to come and join us for this special conference. We're going to have a lot of guest preachers. We're going to have Pastor Stephen L. Anderson from Faithward Baptist Church. We're also going to be having Pastor Roger Menez from Verity Baptist Church. We're going to have Pastor Joe Major from Faith Baptist Church in Via, Louisiana. Also, we're going to be having Pastor David Berzins from Stronghold Baptist Church. I'm also pleased to announce that coming to the conference will be Pastor Grayson Fritz of All Scripture Baptist Church. Also coming to the conference would be Pastor Aaron Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church. So we've got a great lineup. We have a lot of great people that are coming in that are going to really give us some fire. I got the inspiration for Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship from Revelation chapter number 11, where the Bible reads in verse number 5, "If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." You know, in the future, the two witnesses, they're going to be testifying and preaching, you know, some really great sermons, preaching the gospel. And people that try to hurt them, the Bible says fire is going to literally proceed out of their mouth and devour their adversaries, devour these men. It's important in this generation that we stand against all the wickedness, against all the sin, and we actually preach what the Bible says. And the Bible likens it unto fire. And so I'm really excited about this conference. We're going to be having some hot preaching. And if you're anywhere in this area, if you're anywhere in Texas, or even if you just want to fly in, this would be a great opportunity to come and be a part of this conference.
From Stronghold Baptist Church in Norcross, Georgia. Just want to make a real quick announcement. We're going to have Pastor Anderson from Faithward Baptist Church coming out and preaching for us on Thursday evening, October 24th. We're going to have service starting at 7 p.m. So if you're in the area or you want to make a trip on out to our church, come on out. It's going to be a Thursday night starting at 7 p.m. We're Pastor Anderson out here. It's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to him being here. So if you're anywhere in the area or you know anyone that lives here, you know, share this link, get the word out. He's going to be here. I guess it's going to be a normal church service, so come on down. And our address is 5865 Jimmy Carter Boulevard in Norcross, Georgia. So look us up and come on out. Look forward to seeing you there. All right, God bless. Have a good night.
I just want to let you all know that next week, next Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be joined by a ex-CIA whistleblower. Kevin Shipp will be here next week, next Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss this. He's the author of books such as From the Company of Shadows and also In From the Cold, CIA Secrecy and Operations. We'll be talking a little bit about censorship, which I covered last week, but also the shadow government and more. Next Monday night, we'll get the perspective of an ex-CIA whistleblower, Kevin Shipp, on the Sword of the Spirit podcast. He will be my special guest for the 12th episode of the show, which airs Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. Want to apologize for the technical difficulties that caused the show to air a little bit later than usual tonight, just by a few minutes. And I also want to remind you folks, you saw the promo during the commercial break there, that the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship will be taking place next in November, not next month, but almost next month as we are on the air on September 30th, in November, and there are going to be some tremendous men of God who will be there. Pastor Jonathan Shelley hosting, Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, and others will be guest speaking. I can't wait for this event. You know, conferences tend to reinvigorate me. The Christian life has its ups and downs, and there are times where you're more zealous than others. And this conference always gets me on fire, and it always gets me really zealous and ready to go and on fire for the Lord, wanting to accomplish something great. And how could you not leave a conference when you listen to some excellent, fire-breathing Baptist preaching and not feel that way? So I would encourage you, if you're anywhere near the Fort Worth area, make sure you go to that conference in November. I will be attending myself, and I look forward to visiting Dallas for the first time in my life. I've never been there. And you know what? I've been going to Steadfast Jacksonville since its inception, and I've never been to the mothership. I've never been to Steadfast Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. So I really look forward to seeing that church building in person for the first time after watching hours and hours of preaching from my living room on the TV. Yes, I own a television. That shows you how worldly I am, folks. Moving on from that. I don't have cable, though. Okay, give me a break. Moving on from that, let's talk about globalism in light of the Bible. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this, and I want to make myself clear. God hates globalism. God hates world government. It's satanic. The only time a world government is permissible or okay is if Jesus Christ is at the helm, which he will be during the millennium. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Mankind has always wanted to bring in a world government. And that's exactly what mankind did in Genesis chapter 11, where the Bible reads there, "And the whole world was of one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So notice what they're concerned about, being scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That's not what they wanted. They wanted to be in one centralized location so they can institute a centralized government. Now, there's also another application to this verse, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you guys here. The other application is this picture's work salvation. Okay, they're trying to build a tower to get to heaven based on their own works. Meanwhile, Jacob's ladder, that pictures salvation by grace through faith alone, in the sense that the angels are ascending and descending on the ladder, which is Jesus Christ. And guess what? We one day are going to be raptured into heaven. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's because we're going to be regenerated physically one day as a result of the fact that we've been regenerated spiritually when we believed on Christ and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise by faith alone, without works. So that's sort of the juxtaposition there. That's the difference when it comes to types or figures in the Old Testament between Jacob's ladder and the Tower of Babel. Now look what it says in verse number 5. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children have been building. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." Now it says, let us go down. I find that to be interesting. Verse number 8. "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city." You can argue that the intricacies of the Trinity is revealed in the New Testament. And if you look at the Old Testament through the lenses of the New Testament, you're going to see the Trinity. And when you see God referring to himself with a plural personal pronoun, I mean, how could you not think about the Trinity unless you're one of these oneness heretics who thinks that angels created man? Verse number 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So God did not want them to create this centralized city, the Tower of Babel. God did not want them to create this global government here. So he scatters them abroad upon the face of all the earth, because the Lord wants us to have nation states with different languages. And he wants us to have sovereignty, okay? Now, I don't go overboard with this and advocate for a wall on the southern border or anything like that. And I'm not against you if you believe in that. But, and frankly, the immigration thing is kind of a distraction. But at the same time, I do think people should come here legally. And I do think that God does want us to have borders and does want us to have our own country. Now, Daniel chapter 7, here's why this is important in Daniel chapter 7. If you want to talk about this New World Order, quote-unquote, conspiracy and what the Bible has to say about it. Because Daniel 7, the primary application is what's going on when it comes to the global empires that arise during that time, or that have already arisen during that time that Daniel is writing this prophecy. Now, it says in Daniel 7, verse 3, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and as a man's heart, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. And this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon it the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So what do these beasts symbolize? They symbolize the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and finally the Roman Empire. And in verse number 7, we see specifically the beast that devours the whole earth, the fourth beast, that pictures the Roman Empire, which was still to come at this time. Now, verse number 8 says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things." Now, you might be thinking to yourself, that sounds like the Antichrist. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with applying this verse to the Antichrist. I believe that there's a dual application here, because there was a man who, I forgot exactly what the, I think it might have been maybe 150, 160, around there, circa 160 BC, who rose to prominence, called Antiochus Epiphanes, who literally taught and believed that he was God manifest in the flesh. And in fact, that's what his name translates to. And so I think that when Daniel talks about the little horn and it prophesies of a man who will speak great things and blasphemies, you can make the argument that there's a dual fulfillment, that one of the fulfillments is related to Antiochus Epiphanes, who is a historical figure, and then the other fulfillment is still to come, and it'll come in the end times through the Antichrist. Now, here's why I mention this passage in Daniel chapter 7, because I think it's essential to understand exactly how this New World Order will take shape when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom. Because the global government that is yet to come is going to be as powerful as those four empires pictured in Daniel chapter 7 combined. That's why the Bible tells us in Revelation 13, in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." That's the world government system. "And having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, here's what I want you to notice, that it talks about how the beast is like a leopard, has the feet of a bear, has the mouth of a lion. Those are the same animals that are used at, you know, in Daniel chapter 7 as part of the symbolic language to describe the four global empires that it's talking about in Daniel chapter 7. And yet, all four of those animals, all four of those empires, the animals used to describe those empires are present in Revelation chapter number 13. And let me just go back there real quickly here. Now, here's the thing you have to understand. The beast can sometimes be the world system, but it could also, at other times, be talking about the Antichrist himself. Verse number 6 says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." So what's my point? The new world order that'll be established by the Antichrist will be as powerful as all four of those previous global empires described in Daniel chapter 7 combined, which is why the attributes of those animals are present in the Revelation 13 beast. Okay, so that gives you just a glimpse of just how powerful this United Nations government is going to be. Revelation 13, 7 says, "And it was given unto him," talking about the Antichrist, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues," listen to this, "and nations." Now, anybody who would make the accusation to you that the idea of a coming plutocracy, which is what it really is nothing more than a kooky tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, isn't being honest with the scriptures here. Because the Bible couldn't be more clear. One day there's going to be one man who has power over all kindreds, all tongues, and, according to Revelation 13, 7, all nations. Why? Because the devil wants his 15 minutes of fame. And he's going to get it. Daniel 7, it says in verse number 24, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." 3.5 years is what it's talking about. But notice it says that he will think to change times and laws. Yes, Antiochus Epiphanes, that's fine if you want to say that Antiochus Epiphanes is one of the fulfillments of this prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, but I think it's also prudent to look at the coming Antichrist here, and we can conclude he's going to change times and laws. He's going to change the law of the land and potentially make it illegal for you to preach the Bible. He's going to make it illegal for you to go out soul winning. And my question for anyone watching this tonight is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for a time in which it is illegal to evangelize and preach the gospel and get people saved? And if you're unwilling to do it now when it's legal, if you're unwilling now to go out where you can reach the lost without having to worry about United Nations peacekeepers chasing you down from city to city, you're probably going to be useless during the tribulation. And although I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of talking too much about the tribulation specifically on this podcast, I think it's also worth noting that we as Bible-believing Christians who have the Holy Spirit inside us have to make sure that we're not useless, that we're a vessel unto honor when this time comes, because the last thing I want to see are my brothers and sisters in Christ going and hiding out in the forest somewhere waiting to die when this time hits. I want to see you doing great exploits like the Bible says we're going to do. So I want to show you something here just to prove the Bible right. Not that I need to. It's the Word of God. It's perfect. But there is a plan for a 10-kingdom global government. And I'm trying to pull up the graphic here, so bear with me for those of you watching on YouTube and see me looking slightly distracted. As I have the graphic up now, I want to show you this. 10 kingdoms, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, all of these entities, they want 10 kings. They want a global government. And the way that they're going to promote this is to say, hey, this is what we're going to do to prevent another world war. And I'll get to that in a little bit. The process for this has already started. That's why we have the Bilderberg meetings. That's why we have a private Federal Reserve. That's why we have a World Bank. That's why we have multilateral trade deals that erode nation-state sovereignty. And it's all leading to this 10-kingdom planet. These 10 kings who rule over these different regions of the world will one day give their power to the Antichrist. It's what the Bible says. It's not a kooky conspiracy theory. This is end times Bible prophecy. Now, the next point I want to talk about when it comes to the New World Order in light of the Bible is that this global government will be established as a means for worldwide peace. You say, why do you constantly talk about how the political fight is useless? Because guess what? This is going to happen no matter what. This is going to happen no matter how badly you want to get involved in that political fight, no matter how much money you donate to the puppet politicians. So the only way we fight back is through the spiritual warfare. This is going to be established as a means for worldwide peace. Why? Because the events that precede are going to be catastrophic. Daniel 8:25 says, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. By peace, the Antichrist is going to establish his platform. By peace is he going to get people to worship him as a religious figure. And by peace is he going to get people to buy into his Mark of the Beast system. Okay? Because he's going to promise them peace. And coincidentally, it's not a coincidence, this is exactly who the Jews of today are waiting for. They're waiting for a Messiah. They're not waiting for a religious figure. They're waiting for a political figure. Their Messiah is going to come and promise peace as a political figure. But once he uncloaks himself as a religious figure, I personally believe the Jews are going to worship him. Revelation 6, I want to show you, I want to prove to you what I'm talking about here. The events that precede the Antichrist revealing himself to be God are catastrophic. Okay, look what it says in verse number 1, Revelation 6. If you are following along in your Bible, obviously you don't have to. Joe Boxter says they want a world religion, and it starts with government like U.S. signing into law the Noahide laws. He's absolutely right, and I do agree with Joe Boxter in the chat room that it's already started. Pillar and ground. The Antichrist will say, I'm the Christ, therefore once I've come, it is now year number 1. Really good point there. I never really thought of that from Brother Peter James. Brother Peter James, if you're watching this, you should come on the show sometime. I think you'd be a good guest. He's an interesting mind for sure. And anyway, I promised I'd talk about Guzman, by the way, earlier. I will get to that in a little bit here, probably before I go off the air. So Guzman, if you're still watching, stay tuned. Regardless, Revelation chapter 6, notice what it says in verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, so you can make the argument that at this point there already is a new world order, and the Antichrist is quickly rising to the top of that power structure. Verse number 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now this mirrors exactly what Jesus Christ preached in the Olivet Discourse, when he said, there shall be wars and rumors of wars, and he says, you know, that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. But then he goes on to say, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So think about that. It's just the beginning of the sorrows. It's just the beginning of what needs to take place before the rapture. Verse 5 in Revelation 6, and when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. and heard a voice out of the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So what have we established so far? The Antichrist going forth to conquer, to set up his government. And then seal number two talks about war, that peace will be taken from the earth, I believe courtesy of the Antichrist, as a pretext to bring in his religion. And then the third seal, it talks about famine. Okay, that's why it says that it says a measure of wheat for a penny. That is symbolic language used to describe a coming time of hyperinflation. And we can see how hyperinflation can be orchestrated through the private Federal Reserve, which manipulates our economy. The private Federal Reserve has devalued the U.S. dollar by 99% since its inception. And it's also been responsible for every major financial crash that has ever occurred since the Great Depression. So, folks, you have to understand, the Federal Reserve is the mechanism by which some of these things will come to pass, especially the Mark of the Beast system. Because when the Federal Reserve decides to manipulate our currency and make it completely useless, that's when they'll bring in the cashless society, and the cashless society will be the platform on which the Mark of the Beast system will be built on, because at that point there will be no physical currency anymore, and people will be so accustomed to using credit cards and digital currency to make transactions, the Antichrist will come in and say, hey, how about a microchip? It's much more convenient for you. You get it implanted in your right hand or in your forehead, and you can buy or sell with it. But here's the caveat. You need to worship the abomination of desolation in order to receive your injected chip. That's a different topic for a different time. I went down a rabbit hole here. Anyway, let's move on. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. I already read that. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see, and looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. A quarter of the earth dies here. And it's as a result of the war, as a result of the famine and subsequent hyperinflation, and it's as a war of the catastrophe that's going on here, which, by the way, is the wrath of the devil, according to Revelation 12:12. Revelation 6:8 says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sent on him was Death, and hell followed with him. I already read that. Verse number 9, and when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw upon the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost not thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Maria YouTube 100 is mentioning vaccines. She says, vaccines, you don't get your vaccines. You can't work, buy or sell. That would work too. I agree. I think vaccinations, forced inoculations, are going to play a huge role in perhaps the death that we see in this time and the population control agenda, which continues to ramp up as we inch closer and closer to the tribulation period. But my point is, by showing you how these seals open up prior to the abomination of desolation at the midpoint, is this is my perspective, okay? I think that the New World Order, the global government, will culminate with the Antichrist proclaiming himself to be God, and at that point, he will realize his vision to rule over the world, not just as a political figure, but as a religious figure, when he sits in the temple of God and proclaims himself to be God. Now, what I wanted you to notice is that the events preceding the fifth seal, where the martyrs appear in heaven, you've got war, you've got famine, you've got pestilence. Those are going to be used as a pretext for the Antichrist to set up a global world government, a plutocracy, which is led by him as religious figure. He's going to say, worship me and take the mark of the beast so that you can have peace and so that we can prevent the global wars that have occurred prior to my ascension. Think about every time there's been a world war throughout history. We've inched closer to globalism each time. We had the League of Nations. After World War II, we had the United Nations and, of course, the establishment of the fake nation of Israel. The next time there's a world war, we'll inch even closer. We'll move even closer. And I personally believe that the world war that occurs in the end times will be the final cataclysm that brings in the Antichrist's globalism, and people will worship him as God. People say, there's somebody in the chat room asking me, Robert says, who's going to believe him? People who are unsaved. Those who are saved, and by the way, if you think the saved are going to escape this time, you've got another thing coming. The Bible says immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I've done a podcast on the post-trib pre-wrath position before, so I'm not going to get into it here. But Bible-believing Christians, if you're saved, and you live to see this time, guess what? It's going to happen. Once you see the animal sacrifices begin to take place in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, get ready. That's all I have to say. Get ready. So who's going to believe the Antichrist? Those who are unsaved. Who's not going to believe him? Who's not going to worship the abomination of desolation to take the mark of the beast? Those who have the Holy Spirit, because Matthew 24, again, this is a great place to go if you want to study this stuff out. Matthew 24, Revelation 6 are parallel together when the fifth seal is opened and it talks about the martyrs. That parallels perfectly with what Jesus said when he says, for then, no, hold on, let me try and quote it here, folks. I apologize. I'm live. I'm on the air. Everyone's watching me. I sometimes get a little bit nervous. He says in Matthew chapter 24, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Hold on, let me go to it here. I'm sorry. It's escaping me for whatever reason. But in Matthew chapter 24, I want to show you what the fifth seal is in Matthew chapter 24. Let me go to it real quickly. So it says, oh, there it is, verse 9. That's what I was thinking of. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That right there is the fifth seal of Revelation 6. Anyway, I got off track. The people who believe the Antichrist are going to be those who are not saved. And the thing is, the proof that saved people will reject the Antichrist is because Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that If it were possible, which implies it's not possible, they shall deceive the very elect, and the elect are the Christians. They are not the Jews. Now, let me prove that to you real quickly, because I don't want you to take my word for it. In Romans chapter 11, let me take you there real quickly. In Romans chapter number 11. As I just pull it up real quick, Romans 11, verse 7, the Bible says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So we see a distinction between unsaved Israel and the election being everyone who's ever been saved. So that is who is going to fall for this garbage, the people who've rejected the gospel of Christ. Now, what's the purpose of all this? What's going on? Why would the devil set up a world government? Why does the Bible warn us of this time? He wants to kill Christians. He wants to rule over the world. You know, it's Lucifer who said in Isaiah, let me go there real quickly, in Isaiah chapter number 14, He says, "For thou hast said in thy..." Let me look at verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Listen to this one right here. "I will be like the Most High." Why does he so badly want a world government? Why does he so badly want to rule the planet? Because he wants to be like the Most High. First of all, he wants to kill you. He hates you if you're a Christian. But he wants to be like the Most High ultimately. It's why he promises people godlike attributes, and he's promised them those attributes going all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. Now, what's my point? What better way to be like the Most High than to establish a kingdom that rules over the planet? Because guess what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ will do. Revelation 11, it says in verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Folks, the devil corrupts that which is godly. That's why you have a corruption of the family today through the sodomite, filthy agenda. That's why you have corrupted religion today, corrupted gospels today, because the devil corrupts that which is godly, that which is right, because he wants to be like the Most High. That's why Mormons believe they too can be a god of their own world one day if they repent of all their sins, because they believe in a satanic religion. Now, the millennial kingdom is going to be corrupted by the devil. "The kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." Okay? So Jesus Christ will rule over all the kingdoms of this world. Isaiah 9, it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." All of these are names that you would use to describe a king. Well, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign one day on this earth as King of the world. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So again, the devil wants to corrupt that which is godly. So of course he's going to counterfeit, because he's a counterfeiter, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, promising peace when Jesus Christ is the true Prince of Peace, promising that people, you know, will live during a time in which there's not going to be any violence anymore. Again, promising peace forever, when Jesus Christ will be the reason why one day this world lives in peace forever. Because it says in Isaiah 9, 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." So if you want world peace, well, wait until the millennium. Because from that point on, that's what you're going to get. The devil corrupts the millennium through his kingdom, the New World Order establishment, globalism. Ultimately, he sets it up to try to be like the Most High. The question many people ask, though, is he so megalomaniacal that he believes he can win? Does the devil truly think he can defeat the Lord Jesus Christ? We know he gets destroyed at the Battle of Gog and Magog after the millennium. For good, he's cast into hell for 1,000 years before that. The answer to that question is, I don't know. I don't know. It's possible he's got that much of an ego that he thinks he can beat Jesus. Okay, I really don't know for sure. But all I can tell you is that he wants to be like the Most High, according to Isaiah 14. And he's going to do that through the establishment of a new world order globalist regime. It'll be tyrannical. And I think the blueprint for this coming government, as it's described in the Bible, maybe blueprint is too strong of a word, but perhaps a model that it'll loosely resemble will be North Korea today. Because if you think about it, in North Korea right now, you can get thrown into a political prison camp if you refuse to bow down to an idol, the statue of Kim Jong-il, or I guess their eternal president, Kim Il-sung. And there are a lot of different policies that you see in the DPRK that I think will resemble that of the Antichrist's kingdom. A serious clampdown on free speech. And also, here's something interesting. In North Korea, people believe that Kim Jong-un can read their minds, and they're afraid of thinking the wrong thoughts. Because they believe if they think the wrong thoughts, if they think things that contradict the regime, they could get thrown into a political prison camp, along with the next two or three generations of their family. Now, they're afraid of that because they view Kim Jong-un and they view all the other leaders that came before him, including their eternal president, Kim Il-sung, as deity. Not just political figures, but also as gods. The Juche ideology is practically a religion. Well, the Antichrist isn't just going to be a political figure, but he's also going to be a religious figure. And I guarantee you there will be people alive during his reign that believe he can read their thoughts. We also see in the communist Chinese government right now that they've employed a social credit system in which the government will analyze your activity online and analyze your worldview and will assign you with a credit score depending on what you believe. And if your credit score dips below a certain point, you lose your ability to use certain things like public transportation, for example. I could see that being implemented, perhaps one day, as part of this coming Antichrist kingdom. Hey, if you believe in the Bible, your social credit score will plummet. And if it reaches below a certain threshold, you can't use air travel, for example. You can't use public transportation. And eventually it'll culminate in, listen, worship this image, take the mark, or you can't buy or sell anything. I would hope to think that the new IFB has some sort of black market for preaching and black market for some food and water and things like that that we could use to try and get around the mark of the beast. We'll see what happens. Obviously, there's no telling. But that's what the Bible says about the New World Order in a nutshell. There are also many other scriptures I could have gone to, but I'm already at 90 minutes, folks, for this show. So it's time for me to go ahead and wrap things up. I want to thank everyone in the chat room for tuning in. Kevin Doty, I'm not sure if that's pronounced right. Javier Ramos, Thought Crimes is in there. Joe Boxster, Maria YouTube 100, and others. I saw Brother Peter James and Matthew to Revelation. So thank you all very much for tuning in live right here on the Sword of the Spirit podcast. If you missed the announcement earlier, I'll be back again next Monday night, as I always am. Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. It'll be a special show next Monday because I'll be joined by ex-CIA whistleblower Kevin Shipp right here on the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Ex-CIA whistleblower Kevin Shipp live next Monday, the author of From the Company of Shadows, In From the Cold, CIA Secrecy and Operations. I want to leave with this thought. I talked about Greta Thunberg earlier today and just how sad it is to see some of these young people getting brainwashed into believing in the climate change hoax. Well, here's the good news. There are young people in the new IFB movement who are awake, quote unquote, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the Lord, who love the things of God, who want to make sure that people know what it takes to get to heaven and understand true biblical doctrine. And one of those young people is Guzman1611. I'm recommending his YouTube channel right now. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. This is a young man. I believe he's 13. I'm not exactly sure. But I will say this. He's a young guy that is doing great things, and so I wanted to give him a shout-out here. Guzman1611, check out his YouTube channel. If you're sick of seeing all these brainwashed young people, Generation Z, I think is what their generation is called. If you don't want to feel depressed about the future, then take a look at the future in our movement, Guzman, who I hope to meet one day. I think he's doing some great stuff over on his channel. Folks, I'll be back again next Monday right here on youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. You can also find this show on Apple Podcasts and also on the Stitcher Radio app. Use the keyword Ben the Baptist to subscribe to those platforms there where you can listen to the podcast on the go. It doesn't matter where you are. You can always tune in after the show has gone off the air. God bless you all. I really appreciate the support. Subscribe to the YouTube channel for more content. I'll be back again next Monday night at 9 Eastern. You don't want to miss it. Kevin Shipp will be here, ex-CIA whistleblower. I'll talk to you guys again next Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central.